The following is a segment from the Education Gadfly Show. Visit edexcellence.net to listen to full episodes or to sign up for the print edition of the Education Gadfly. For quicker delivery of the podcast, subscribe to us on iTunes.
Here we go. Question number one. Last Friday, Obama announced his long-hyped conditional waivers for NCLB. Is this good for education?
Well, I think, you know, like most people have said, it's good and bad. It's obviously good that states can now kind of get out of those restrictions that have really been, you know, hurting their schools and causing them to force, you know, push a lot of money in different directions and really restrict them. But on the other hand, you know, it might down the road lead to some problems because, as we've seen, like a lot of times when the federal government tries to regulate something like, you know, teacher evaluation or, you know, all of like common standards and things like that, it might go bad down the road. I mean, what do you think, Daniela?
I mean, my big issue here is that Duncan's not listening to us anymore. We had put out our blueprint for ESEA reauth a year and a half ago or so, our open letter to Arne Duncan, and talked about this tight loose, you know, our reform realism idea. And it seemed like the administration had really paid attention and really locked in and took that to heart. And their own blueprint that they had come out with was a lot of what we had said. And now, a few months ago, when the conditional waivers were floated, the idea was floated, we said, hey, you know, step back, make sure that you're not attaching mandated Common Core adoption and things like that to these waivers. And lo and behold, they did just that.
Well, I think part of the problem is that when you go through the route of waivers as opposed to actually, you know, renewing ESEA, you're going to have to go kind of more to, you know, not the tight loose aspect, but you're actually going to be pretty tight on the means, because if you're revamping what the outcomes are and you're saying, oh, you know, you don't have to get to a certain point, you just have to kind of change what you're doing along the way, that's the exact opposite of tight loose. So I think that's kind of why we're going in that direction, because we can't get to the point where we're renewing the actual law, so we're just fiddling around with what states can do in the meantime, you know.
So do you think Arne and the rest of the people at the Ed Department actually know where they're heading when it comes to this, or, you know, do they have long-term goals, or is it just purely reactionary based on the way Congress is acting?
I think it's absolutely long-term goals. I think this is what they want their NCLB to, you know, the new reauthorization to be in many ways.
But the issue here is in being, I feel like it is a reactionary stance that they've taken, and in doing so, they've really taken their blueprint off the table. Congress isn't, the Republicans, GOP in Congress, aren't going to rally behind this waiver movement and say, you know what, guys, yeah, you're onto something great. Let's talk reauthorization now. They're going to get a recoil. And so if the administration was trying to push forward their own ESEA reauth with these waivers, it made more enemies than friends.
See, I would disagree. I think that largely once something is instituted, it's hard to roll that back and to go backwards. And I think once these waivers are in place, states will expect them, you know, to at least have this amount of freedom in return for these actions. And that'll be something that's difficult to kind of go back on.
So do you think these waivers have essentially thrown off any chance of reauthorizing NCLB?
I think they probably delayed it.
Big time.